little flavor of how working it is. I got the project from you. It's a jungle out there. Missouri's like any other of our states in our region here. We're over capacity in most of our systems. Our rail capacity is extremely important. There's over 440 million tons across the state each year, but we have capacity, access, and system integration issues there. Our air cargo is getting exciting. If you got a chance to go up to KPI, all kinds of development going over there, turning it into a transloading facility for air and truck cargo, a lot of development. In St. Louis, another side of the state, we have a partnership now with China. Susan from the Regional Growth Association in St. Louis is here. You might want to ask her about that. That's a pretty neat partnership we've got going on with the government of China to make an air cargo hub in St. Louis at the Lambert Airport. Our armaments are loaded and filled. As Steve will tell you with his experience in I-70 right now, trucks are an issue in terms of capacity, safety, and perception. Again, the same person who loves that fresh produce in the grocery store hates that truck out the window every day when they drive down the highways. And like all Mississippi River Valley states, we're blessed with incredible waterway system. Unfortunately, on the Mississippi, we're hampered by an aging rock structure. On the Missouri, we've got political, climatic, and hydrological issues that have almost nearly ran off freight traffic on the Missouri River. I didn't know if most of you are aware of that. There's even folks in Missouri who don't realize that the Missouri is barely used anymore for freight movement. There's a lot of standing ground operations, but it's not all the freight like it used to. So, in addition to accommodating all the boats in Missouri with our tremendous highway system, our waterways, our rails, and our aviation, we are also, like all the other states here, positioned fantastic for freight movement. We are geographically located in the United States. We are geographically located in the middle of the population. And logistically and economically, we're located in the center of the United States. You see there, I've seen the same facts for some of your other states here, but 41% of the total U.S. effective buying power is within 500 miles of Missouri. 43% of the U.S. population and households, 41% of all service industries, and 44% of total manufacturing. Over 386,000 manufacturing industries within 500 miles of Missouri, and that would include all your other states as well. Unfortunately, I'm sure that's declined a little bit in the past year. Our state economic development agency also considers transportation and logistics as a big item in Missouri. In Missouri, one of our five clustered area focuses is transportation and logistics groups, and it is the largest employer. In 2007, they shipped $12.8 billion worth of goods to over 199 countries out of Louisville, Missouri. 18 of our top 50 companies in the state of Missouri are either directly and solely related to freight or extremely and substantially related to freight delivery. So freight is in Missouri. And what about the transportation side about this? What does freight do for Missouri? Well, Missouri, as we mentioned last night in our state's discussion, we use the revenue model to calculate our return on investment from our STIP. We do it on a program level. We do do some individual projects, but we generally do the STIP on the program level every year. We work with our Missouri Department of Economic Development Research Group to do this for us. This last year, for our five-year STIP, over a 20-year time horizon, our $4 billion plan $4 billion in planned investments in transportation projects results in a return of $4.63 on every dollar we invest. Okay, we disaggregated this model in GED and then say, okay, what is this? What portion of this is related to freight? Well, the short of it is, for this $4.63, if you disaggregate that model, nearly 70% of all of the benefits resulting from these investments are related to freight. 73% of general revenue related to this $4 billion investment, 63% of personal income, 71% of gross state product, 72% of total economic output, and some of this $4 billion investment is related to the freight benefits. So freight is a significant part of the benefits of transportation in Missouri. Consider I-70 and I-44 in Missouri alone. In this state, 36% of all the jobs in the state and 24% of all the employers are located within a 3-mile radius of those two corridors in the state. Just those two corridors. Now, I'm getting back to these businesses, amounts to over $6 billion in net general revenue. I-70 right now is approximately 35% truck traffic. They're expecting that to double in the next 20 years. For our ports and waterways on the Mississippi and Missouri River, We have 14 public courts in Missouri, 7 of those are active. We have over 200 private courts. The porn industry employs over 1,200 workers in the state, and there are over 2,000 induced or spin-off jobs. The average salary in our waterway industry in Missouri is over $60,000. In terms of the volume that's been moved on ports, we have moved over $2 billion in products, or 2 million tons moved across Missouri's public ports. Nearly 14 times that amount moves across Missouri's private ports. So, once again here, we really need to be aware of what's going on in the private sector. So, in response to all the trade initiatives around the country, what we see in Missouri, and just the traffic loads and the need for some freight leveling across all the nodes. We developed our freight initiative last December, and I came in and took the position in the multimodal operations section as the freight administrator of MoDOT. MoDOT assigned my position some of our little organizational functions that we have going on. Of course, we designed a high-level mission statement that matches our mission statement for the overall department, and we also developed 4 guiding focus areas for us to follow. And said basically, we want to provide an environment of success, we want to engage with partners, expand system capacity, and MoDOT evaluate performance is one of our key things to keep us on track in trade development. We realize that we need to, this is new to Missouri, this is new to MoDOT, we need institutional support in the department, and we need to talk this up and provide the support for it to get going. If it's freight capacity out there, we can capitalize on it, or we can let it go. We decide we want to capitalize on it. We need to engage with others again and again. The private sector comes up and owning so much of the operative instruments in the system that we just have to engage with them. Lastly, expand system capacity. And this is in 3 different areas. We need to expand system capacity not only on I-74, the Kansas City Icon project we have here, or I-64. We also need to expand system capacity in terms of intermodal connectors in the state. And we also need to expand systems capacity in terms of our working relationship with the private sector and other public agencies. Finally, again, we evaluate our performance to make sure we're headed the right way. We had a good discussion on that yesterday with our own performance managers. Well, then with administrative details, I'd like to give you a little flavor of some of our projects that we have going on. You know, we do have the I-70, and our design group works with Keith on that. They're the lead on that. We've got spring events going all around the state that are happening. Our districts are looking at the NHS intermodal connectors and making sure that we've got those up to standards. So there's a lot going on, and we're just sort of a small part of all the freight support that we provide in MoDOT. But here's 2 projects that I wanted to show you. It's how we're trying to break out of our old mode and work new and with new people. The first one is a full feasibility analysis. And the second one is the Missouri River Flow Project. The full feasibility analysis. This is about a 20-mile short line railroad that runs from the city of Columbia up to the Norfolk Southern Line in Centralia, Missouri. This is in central Missouri, just above Jefferson City. Historically, the city of Columbia owns this facility, by the way, and they haul coal from the Norfolk Southern down to the power plant in Columbia. Down in here, there's also a company called ADX Logistics that has an 80,000 square foot warehouse facility, and they have a full roll of coal steel that is then trucked down to Sedalia. It's railed into Columbia, and then trucked to Sedalia and stamped into cracks and toolboxes. They're also getting into lumber and other products. At the same time, but these people are wanting to expand in the city of Columbia and ADS. They came to us simultaneously. We had agriculture producers, the Department of Agriculture and Forestry folks come to us and say, hey, we want to get in on this freight shipping action and figure out how to containerize these products and get them out of the state at a lower cost and less hassle than trying to put them on trucks and get them all the way up here. What can we do about this? So we had a meeting with the city of Columbia, ADS Logistics, ourselves. We brought in the Department of Agriculture, and the Missouri Department of Economic Development, and met with them and said, okay, what can we do? And Norfolk Southern basically told them, well, if you want to build containers, we're going to need at least 12,000 containers a year to develop container service down here. And so we're saying, okay, what do we need to do? And so between the group of us, we decided that we needed to do a feasibility analysis. And so that's what we started on right now. And in addition to that, as we're just getting out of the gate, starting with our freight development program, we're also going, well, we also want to know how to develop and locate these transloading facilities, because we want more. We want economic development right here. Is there something we can learn from this process and maybe turn into a template? So in looking at studies around the country and how other things develop, we basically developed a three-tier process of how we're going to approach these projects. And this one right here, we worked with the Department of Economic Development, who went into the industry code and got all the businesses in an 80-mile typical circle around Columbia that were shipping a lot of stuff. We've got that list. The Department of Agriculture went over and got all their agricultural contacts and then did the coding on that for the industry code. We've got this list of close to 200 different businesses that ship in this 80-mile range. We did all this with GIS based on these lists. We then went through and sorted them to make sure it all makes sense. And then we developed a survey, basically, that goes out and visits these businesses and sees what they're shipping, where they're shipping it, how they're shipping it, what issues they have with the transportation system, and what we could do to make their lives better. We also, of course, talk about, is there a possibility of them going containerized or shipping some way than rather than in certain ways or in a general way of putting it on a truck and putting it on I-70 or 63. So those surveys are underway right now. It's a great opportunity for us to visit with some businesses. The second leg of this is we're looking into getting some commodity data to try to do something that's like the transverse and global insight data to better understand the whole region on that. And the third leg of this project is we're looking at best practices at other transloading facilities and seeing how they develop and what makes them work and also as well as what to avoid. So we think those three parameters, I'd be interested to know if you had any other suggestions that we should be looking to, will give us a good idea if this is a feasible location. And now we're assuming there, of course, that there's a transportation system that it's serving. So we're trying to develop a multiple beneficial product here that helps us as well as helps them as we weigh into how we work with these private sector people in the trade industry. Again, they ship coal and steel out of this facility, ag products. Their facility was loaded with lumber, and they're looking for container or general expansion. You can see right there some of the steel coils in there. And interestingly, this is a climate control ISO certified building. And I didn't really know this, but steel is, as they refer to it, is somewhat like a banana. It's perishable. They've got to get this stuff in and get it down there and use. Or I guess actual metallurgy of the metal changes from sitting in there for a while, and they can't stamp it in the toolbox and go fracture. I had no idea if there's steel, most of the steel that rust. That's not the case. There's always more to it. And as we bring this together, our work with the private sector industry, the coal folks and ADS are doing their job as well. They're out beating on doors trying to develop business to bring it in there and run out of the rail line instead of the highways. And of course, you know, they're private sector in the city of Columbia, so they're doing it to make money. And we want to help them because it'll help us build a template, plus I think it helps divert some of the traffic in the system and spread it out even the load a little bit. So here's one of their advertisements that they're using trying to promote saving the environment and saving money. And in the Columbia area, this would be something very big, especially with the environment for businesses that they can drag on this. The university town is very focused on green issues. Another new project I wanted to mention to you real quickly, getting traffic back on the Missouri River. Again, I don't know if most of you realize that the traffic, truck traffic on the Missouri River is all that goes on to the Missouri section. And most of that is related to about 8 years of drought in the past. So our Port and Waterways Managers was approached about speaking at the Coast Guard Corps of Engineers and Navigators meeting in February in Kansas City up here. And this is a meeting where the technical folks, the Coast Guard, the folks who are on the ships, they get together with the shippers and operators on the river and say, this is when we're going to open the season, this is how much water is in these pools, and this is what's coming down. Well, we coordinated with DNR and the folks at the Coast Guard and Corps to do a presentation there, and Brian Weiler, our multimodal director in the back there, Mike Wells, our deputy director of water resources in the state, myself, Bob Doolin from BARAD, and Jerry Turley went in and did a presentation and basically did the total transportation spiel to this group of about 100 folks, including the Corps of Engineers, Coast Guard, city managers who rely on water system intakes, as well as the shippers and boating companies and large companies that use the river or have used the river in the past and were still interested. We gave our dog a funny show and said we want to work on the river, and here's what we want to, the direction we want to head. We want to look at sort of a competitive posture program. We want to get boats back on the water. Now, interestingly, what we've heard about back from these folks is when we opened it up, we turned it into about an hour session half hour on, okay, what's keeping you off the river, and then a half hour on, what can we do to get you back on the river? And we opened up this discussion in the group. We've heard most of the same old things. Water's not reliable, there's not enough of it, channel's not maintained, there needs to be a critical mass of boats on the river for us to be safe up here. The market's changed, I can't coordinate loads anymore and make this efficient load. But then surprisingly, but not shockingly, one of the civilian administrators from one of the federal agencies took the floor for about 10 minutes in this little facilitated discussion and basically said, what do you mean this river's not reliable? We tell you how much water's coming, we tell you when it's coming, how long you're going to have water, and when it's going to go away. What's not reliable about that, and why can't you operate on this river? And I said, well, you pretty much have some reliability issue, but I did mention the fact that it wasn't usable. And fortunately, one of the shippers in the back, a local private sector guy, basically stood up and said, well, I just need to relax you on this, because if we could ship on this river right now, we'd be shipping on it. And then he went to list the variety of problems that he sees that I mentioned just a minute ago about why we can't get on the river. So we've pulled all this information together. We've drawn a lot of attention about this. We're getting calls now from all over the state of folks wanting to work with us to see how we can get back on the river. We've developed a plan to do this. And we're going to focus on local equipment, possibly looking into purchasing some local equipment and developing a relationship with private sector folks to run that equipment up and down that river, maybe with a subsidy or possibly with the ability that they need that somebody loads them in Missouri and they can take it someplace else. We're looking at a marketing and coordinating process where we can identify loads on the river and bring them down so that they can have a nice circuitous route of delivery upstream and delivery down to pickups going back out. We're also looking at marketing of the river. We've, nobody's really aware of the silent highway and how important it is and what it can do for us. So we're working in those areas. We've delivered an appropriations proposal to our legislative body at the federal level to try to develop some funds in this. We submitted to Missouri and the Mississippi Rivers for the Bureau of Avenue Corridor Highway Programs, and we're trying to hit every button we can to get funding and support to get boats back on this Missouri River. And I'm pretty sure most of you are aware that there's sort of a space argument going on here between the upper Missouri River states and the lower states on water allocation. There's environmental issues. On the first slide, there was that little pallet surgeon, and there's pipe and closure issues on the river. So, tons of issues on this river of why it's difficult to work with. And while it's difficult, it's historically been difficult. I found some slides on the internet that show that there's other rivers that might be harder to work on, and this is the Tom Bigby River, and I just wanted to throw these in here. It's so amazing what I found. Anyway, this barge right here, coming down this flood water. I don't know why they're on the river in flood. You see it's got a gate over here. So anyway, they're going to come down here and release a load of coal, and then back up in this flood water, go over and come under here. Why, I don't quite know. This is like a 1978 or 1979. Okay, so they release a load of coal, and they try to back up. The back end of the boat gets caught, swung around, swung under the bridge. The boat goes under the bridge. Imagine this. Pops back out the other side, comes back up, rights itself. I don't know if you can see it in there, but right in there, the engine's still running. It's still running. And he paused more damage trying to catch the barge on the pole than he did going underneath that bridge. Amazing. You know, I just got to go there. Well, and I also mentioned that we have other great development activities going on along besides the highway issues, I-70, the pulls in the Missouri River studies that we have going on. We're also finishing up another area, and a lot of it's in research. And that's how we got to this point so far, is a lot of our research led to these things. We have the low-flow study analysis, which I'll give you a little link to here, and you can find it, that said, hey, there's equipment out there that you can use on this river. So we picked up on that, and we moved forward. We've looked at Kansas and other folks and seen their shoreline programs and said, hey, that's a good idea. We may need to look at that. But anyway, right now in Missouri, we've got a rail climate policy and aviation public policy study underway. And these basically look at Missouri's aviation and rail industry compared to our peer states and say, okay, what do we look like if you're a private sector business coming in? Are you as attractive as Iowa? Are you as attractive as Kansas? You know, I'm not really funding in Kansas with my shoreline, right? We don't have that in Missouri. So what are those programs that we need to do to make Missouri attractive for rail development and air development. Those studies are underway, we finished up soon. We also participate in our Department of Economic Development Transportation Logistics Group. Just like us in transportation, they've identified freight as an economic engine in the state and assigned a person to it who has a council that guides them. Brian and myself are on this committee, and we work well with the Department of Economic Development as well as agriculture. We consider ourselves strong partners in the state. Of course, we work with ASHTO and Federal Highway every chance we get, and then we're also the National Cooperative Freight Research Program and CRP. We try to stay in tune with all that so that we're on top of the freight issues. Past research that found a lot of what we did right now that might be also interesting for you to know about if you're looking for resources. This is on our freight website on the MoDOT side under multiple operations, freight development, or you can go to the MoDOT website, go to our innovation library and find these. And we started out with Missouri Force Acceptance, and we stole that idea from Arkansas. We went around and surveyed all of our forces. We did that twice, got over $60 million worth of needs and lost business because of their inability to build certain structures. We did a freight optimization study. The neat thing about this is basically we developed a planning process for port and waterway freight development that matches our planning process for the overall highway process. We're trying to get this integrated so it all looks the same. Hopefully it'll work the same. Payment fuels and fuel efficiency. We did our Smooth Roads Initiative in Missouri about 4 years ago. We wanted to look at what is the super trucking across the state. So we went up here to I-70 and for 3 weeks prior to repaving of I-70 and 3 weeks after we repaved it, we ran dump trucks loaded with concrete barriers up and down that highway and did fuel tests and fuel use tests on them every night. And basically found that we had 2% improvement with our smooth roads for fuel efficiency. We gave this information to our motor carriers group and they used it as public relations with the motor carriers industry. Said, yes, smooth roads are not only funner to drive on, they benefit your truck that will heat it up and you get better fuel efficiency. Also in 2008, we had a research forum looking at freight issues, and we're trying to still get off of around on some of the research projects in that area. That was pretty neat. In that case, we brought in our university partners and private sector researchers to talk about the areas that we need to look at in Missouri for freight development. So where are we headed for freight in Missouri? So if you're in the state, you're going to see me. We believe this is network and relationship driven, and especially with the large extent of private sector ownership, we're going to have to go out there and work with these folks to make anything happen. We look to develop, we are going to develop some sort of competitive cost share program that we anticipate that we'll partner with the private sector on these things, but we expect them to pay part of the load. They're going to get some of the benefit, the larger society and economy is going to get some of the benefits. So let's walk together in this and partner on it. We also build gates for freight in Missouri. We think it's extremely important. A lot of people don't realize how important it is economically and economically to the state. And they especially don't realize the potential we have with rail and waterways in the state to divert some of that off the roadways, onto the rivers, and as you said, on the silent highways. Will freight double by 2035 with the current economic condition? Can we get freight back on the river? Can we level some of this load across modes? And can we capitalize on Missouri's central location, or for this being, for the, this region's central location? My answer to this is yes. We might not double by 2035, but that economy is going to pick up again and keep going. We need to be in a position to take advantage of it and make Missouri and this region attractive to freight development. Yes, we're going to get freight back on the river. It's important to us, and it would just be a horrible shame to lose that massive resource as a transportation option. Leveling of front loads, I think that'll probably have to happen without us, even if we don't participate in it because of the congestion issues coming down the road. And capitalize on Missouri's central location, yes, I think we can do that as well. Thank you. I look forward to visiting with you more during the meeting. If you have any questions, or if we can work together on something, I'd be more than happy to visit with you. Thank you.
We probably have time for a couple questions. Any questions for Randy?
Yeah, I didn't realize what folks are from that far west of Centralia. Is that tracking rights or do they actually own that one? But you can tell that was Norfolk Southern, and you had, they told you 12,000 lifts, be operational, I'm assuming that's all going to East Coast ports and not West Coast ports?
You know, we haven't got that far in the discussion. We're just looking to get it out mainly to the East Coast. They can get over the river.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Probably our closest relationship right now because we share a freight and then all of our issues back to the rail system and things in the same way.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks we break ground on our first capacity state and total funding package project, and we're kind of an exciting time for us. We're hoping that we can get the other type of project.
Anything else? What's the cost share program?
It's in the general space. So
okay, we're getting started.
We're sort of stolen from our resource management folks who run the cost share program. Basically, we took their language, brought it over to our side, and said, okay, how can we use the same type of program to cost share on these type of things? So let's say we get some money to use this urban project. And we find out the need that we're looking into the area of equipment and somehow subsidize equipment operations. Well, in that case, we would go out and call the support and say, okay, this is what we're talking about right now. We have a proposal out there in three areas: market coordination, equipment, and marketing. Come to us with your best proposals and ideas, hopefully with public and private sector partners. We'll let you have develop a team. We're thinking about building one of these great advisory teams, similar to what you have, and they will be the team that evaluate these proposals and pick the best ones. And then we learn to do that, and hopefully when those came in as a competitive proposal, they say, here I am, I'm the private sector agribusiness services in Brunswick, Missouri. I'm partnering with NFA and the Boonville Cooperative for a public facility, and we want to choose run low-flow equipment, low-flow towboat up and down the river, and here's our proposal. And it's going to benefit us and all these other areas. We can look at and say, okay, that looks like a good one. It's going to create jobs. It's going to provide the long-term sustainability development on this river. Let's do it. You're paying this much. We're paying that much. Let's walk that road together.
Yes, on the sort of expanding system capacity, you didn't mention much about trucking as an independent activity as opposed to an interface for barging and rail, but are you interested in expanding the capacity by encroaching gross vehicle weights on trucks or advocating that on the interstate?
No, I don't think Missouri is, unless there's quite a bit of money attached to it to compensate for the cost of damage related to the vehicle. And one of the reasons I didn't mention trucking that much in the motor carrier industry. We do have these high visibility programs, like I-54, I-70, and we've also had a very successful motor carriers group. I was quite frankly, I mentioned a couple of people, we've got a lot of taxi drivers in Missouri. They're well taken care of by our motor carriers group. And so we're trying to weigh in there and see how we can help right now. But as far as that large weight, I know Kansas City area up here has some facilities that go up to 100,000 pounds. Is that right there on the town? International gateway area is about 100,000 pounds. And I mentioned, well, maybe that's something we could expand. And I still got my hands left. That wasn't a good idea unless we somehow pay for the possible payment damage.
So is the revenue issue the only issue then?
You know, I would think it probably would be. I mean, there's going to be safety concerns there as well. And if we could get that safety, and you mentioned in the proposal that it was going to be required that they have the proper braking and engine capacity to make them be able to ease the traffic. I think if we cover all those bases, we'd probably be okay. But if we're out there having our opinion, we're really that subbase of those heavy trucks and not compensated for it. We don't have enough money right now to take care of what we got and build what we need to build. So that would be insane.
Can you tell me about your diesel fuel tax and your gasoline fuel tax? Are they the same in the state or
for the state? It's the state, I believe.
I think we're going to have to close this off now and move on to John Ness.